Pastor Brenda said, take the mic, Mike. But hey, Mike, Pastor Mike wouldn't take the mic, Mike. But he was talking to me about how when the scripture, which is so important, that when Jesus said, I have to go away, but when I leave, I'll send you the Holy Spirit. I'll send the Comforter. You know, along with that is, you can't take what I have to give you as long as I'm here. I have like a whole realm to give you. Right? I have, you know, we find ourselves in a far off land kind of thing. It's just like, when am I out here in this far off land? Even though the earth is still there. Remember the dream, BJ? The earth is still there, but I'm in a far off land. You know, scripture, if you read Isaiah 33, I think it's 17, it talks about how there's this far off land that you're going to find yourself in. So Jesus was telling him, you won't discover this far off land unless I send the Holy Spirit back. Because while I'm here, I can only give you just this little bit, you know. But when I go and send back the Spirit, he's able to enlarge your capacity to see in the Spirit and think in the Spirit and know in the Spirit. So he says, it's expedient for you that I go to your advantage, far to your advantage, because your capacity is too small for me to show you your real inheritance. I can't do it in my natural man. I have to come back in my spiritual man, the Holy Spirit, to be able to show you spiritual things like you need to know. So that adds a lot of clarity to that scripture, to me anyway, that God, at first, you know, you're like, don't go, don't go. That's the natural man. Don't go, don't go, don't go. You know, you've been such a blessing to us. We love you. We love you. Put our head on your bosom, et cetera, et cetera. But it's expedient. The Lord would say, this is the Lord's words. It's expedient for you that I go. See, your advantage. Because then I can now, through the Spirit of God, enlarge your capacity so that you can know that you know, that you can see that you can see, that you can experience a whole new realm, a whole new order, a whole new kingdom, not made by hands. So, we're glad for the Holy Spirit. We're so glad for the Holy Spirit. We're so glad for the Holy Spirit. We're so glad for him. Because that's really kind of what he's doing here amongst us, Ron. He's increasing our capacity. When we went to the Outer Banks, we were like this. Now we're kind of a little bit more, you know, we got stretched deeply. And thank God for that. But he'll do it day by day by day by day by day. So all we do then is surrender. God, increase me, increase me. You know, we read those scriptures about enlarge our borders, God, enlarge our borders. We don't think our spiritual capacity. We think, you know, make us more successful in ministry or give us a bigger church or make us more prosperous or whatever. You know, enlarge our spiritual borders, you know, stretch enlarge our capacity to see the kingdom and to see the king himself. And so that's why this thing is always fresh. This thing is always fresh, because tomorrow, Christian, your capacity will get enlarged even more. And Lorraine, then the following day, yours is going to get enlarged even more. So your text to her is going to be enlarge her capacity more by the Spirit. And then Ms. Nida is going to text and enlarge Ms. Sister Treva's capacity. And even Pastor Love's going to... Love. They say they have a new name for you. It's love. Yeah, Pastor Love. Because your capacity got larger, so now it's not. I thought that up just that fast. So I want to, Dee to put up the quote, if she would. There'll be no quote-unquote announcements, but remember, you just use your old one. And just remember, the menu's the same, you know. We serve it with fine china and even a napkin and such. We're growing. We're growing. Not religiously, thank you. Not in the sense that the church, you know, I wonder how much capacity enlarging is really going on in the body of Christ in general. But for us, the Holy Spirit's committed to us to do this. I'm going to enlarge you. And whatever the world thinks that word means, we have a heavenly definition of that. We have a heavenly definition of that because we're heavenly people and we belong to a heavenly order. And you do things that you and see things that you never saw before. Revelation upon revelation. Okay, here's Wigglesworth. There are always three things that are working silently but powerfully. The blade, the head, and the full grain in the head. God is developing us, right? Expanding us in a righteous line to know that we are of a royal priesthood, a royal aristocracy. First Peter. We belong to a whole new company. We belong to the firstborn. We have the nature of heaven. We have the nature of the Son of God. We have got this incorruptible seed nature that's going to grow and expand, and the capacity is going to grow. That's who we are. We belong to eternal workings, right? We find ourselves up here, you know, because we belong to eternal workings. We get into a foreign land and like, what is this land we're in? Last part. God, who is greater than all, has come through all and is now working in all to his glory, to his power. I like this part right here. You may not be able to take these things because you know so much about gravity. You know too much about gravity. In other words, you're too earthbound, you know. Gravity always brings you back to earth. You say you know too much about gravity. And I'm speaking so much about gravity being removed. Right? So here's Shanique floating in the air, in the spirit. I'm off the ground. You know, even on our ride back from OBX, which was, we got back about a half an hour ago, it was like we were not on the ground. Speaking so much about gravity being removed, there is no gravity in the spirit. There is no gravity to thought. You talking about a renewed mind? There's no gravity to thought, not in the spirit, you know. There's no gravity to inspiration. You know, you're on another realm. Even the things that inspire you come from another realm, right? I say Pastor Ross has already denied the grave, and she's in a gravity-less realm. How about that word? How about that word? I got Webster. I beat him. See, there's no gravity, you know, so I beat Webster that was on the earth. How you like me now, Glo? That's so funny. There is no gravity in divine union with Christ. It is above all. It rises higher. It sits on the throne. It claims its eternal purposes. You know, that's what he's working in us. That's why he's expanding us. You know, the person who wrote this, I think he was expanded on the inside. You know, there was an expansion. It's expansion. Now, so if you have a dream or vision or testimony or a revelation, or the divine gravity-less thought, or something to share, I want to just open it up to anybody who has anything, a dream, a thought, a revelation. So if not, I'm just going to put Pastor Jerry up here at the throttle and let him put it in gear, you know. Nobody? All 12 of them, right? Rainy the Dreamer, right? Drew, Felisa, whoever. I know Drew got something. I love Jesus or something. Tyler. Yeah. I sound good back there, didn't it? I was like, whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. You putting the spirit in here, sir. That is some really cool air in the spirit, Tyler. I felt that thing. Sorry, Pastor Mike. I mean, Pastor, all that about, by the way, all that about the expansion of the in your spirit, Pastor Mike was preaching it to me before we started, but I couldn't give him the mic. But did I do okay? Okay, yeah. anybody? All right, Pastor Jerry, I think it's going to be on you then. Praise God. You got something? I started it for you, so you want to, yeah.
No, I can. I'm good.
Oh, yeah.
Just so much.
Does he have anything? Yeah, I think so. Okay. You sure?
Yes, sir.
All right, Pastor Jerry. Just put the mic.
Mike the mic.
Mike the mic. I'm telling you, Pete, as soon as you touch this, gravity leaves. Gravity leaves. That's right. That's right. Yes. Jesus, I love this kingdom. All right, you sure?
Okay.
You sure? Cause, hey.
Come on, let's do this. This is purely the Holy Spirit, y'all. Purely the Holy Spirit. Ooh, glasses. Didn't even bring my pocketbook. Glow, what you got? Oh, they're on my desk. Mm-hmm, because my pocketbook is back there. The Lord likes to take us to a place where we don't have anything but Him. And I sure know. It did double-sided on me. I was like, okay. You know, we were talking about Ron and how he can memorize stuff. I don't have that grace, Pastor Gloria. I don't have that grace. You do a wonderful job with it too. You know, we had such an awesome experience this week. And Pastor was capsizing it when I came out and touching a little bit on. I like that we are in the same spirit and that we all connected and we all hearing from the Lord. Pastor wrote this one day last week. There is increasing grace in revelation from the Lord being manifested in our midst, personally and corporately. I'm saying this. Pastor talked about expansion and enlarging. I didn't get all of it. But there is an enlargement taking place, Rob. And gravity has no pull on us anymore, on our thought life. Gravity says that's impossible. The Spirit says, oh, no, go as far as you want to go. You know, be expanded in me. Take the limitations off. Pastor wrote, we are seeing and sensing the invisible wings of the Spirit, drawing us away from the world, isn't this what he was just saying? And planting us firmly into the kingdom of God and wonderfully inside of himself. That's the biggest part about it. Gravity loses its hold and we find ourselves on the Christ on the inside of us. The foundation of the apostolic and prophetic are reaching closer to biblical proportions than ever before. Visions, y'all. Dreams, y'all. Revelation, us. and testimonies of the work of the cross in everyday life continues to give us a heavenly assurance. Because without the working of the cross, none of this is going to happen. Got to have the cross first. And then you got to have the love. Then you get all this other stuff. Corinthians 13 says, if you get it all and don't have love, you're nothing. You know, you can give your body to be burned. Now, how can you give your body to be burned and don't have love? That's deep. That shows you how selfish and self-centered we are. We'd rather deny ourselves than deny our brothers. We would love to prefer ourselves than to prefer our brothers and sisters. I'm not going to let you burn. I'll burn myself up before I burn you. Isn't that deep? Heavenly assurance that the Spirit of God is among us, leading us, teaching us, guiding us, and sharing the glories of the new creation and eternal life. It gets better and clearer every day, moment by moment. We had five Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. No, we didn't do anything Sunday night, did we? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. 6 days of exceedingly clearer vision, revelation. And revelation is just the revealing of who Christ is. That's all revelation is. We try to make it all deep. Pastor, can I come down with this and sit on a stool? Give me a stool right here. Oh. Robert got me? Okay, Rob. Thank you. No, I'll be up here. It'll be okay. I forgot. Am I pushing that? Yeah. I feel like I'm pushing.
There you go, that's it.
Yeah. I don't want to be breaking up housekeeping. Woo! I'm excited, Jesus. I'm excited with what God is doing. I'm excited that we are finally understanding, finally coming to grips with the reality of our purpose of being called out of the world. We are finally getting to that place to grasp that Christ chose us with a divine purpose in mind. And it wasn't to speak in tongue. It wasn't to prophesy. It wasn't even to lay hands on the sick. It wasn't to raise the dead. But his divine purpose was union with him. He had but one purpose of calling Geraldine. He wanted to be with me. He had but one purpose for saying, Brenda, come on out of the world. And when he said, come on out of the world, Stan, there's something else that has to happen. If we coming out of the world, what do we do now? Where do we go? Did you say it? You just laugh. You know it. Say it. In your mind. Thank you. She said we're going to heaven. We're going into eternal things. When we lose gravity, then we are now in the eternal realm. In the eternal realm, there is no gravity. In the eternal realm, in our new home, our new place, our new citizenship is where we occupy, where we live, where we dwell, where we think, where we act, where we do everything from that realm. I told you had it. Told you. A new world without end. A new world. That's what he did. He called us out of the old into the new. And he said, I make all things new. He can make everything about us brand new. I don't care how foul. I don't care how stinky. I don't care how, give me some nasty words, you brilliant people. How poopy. How corrupt. How defiled. It don't matter. It doesn't matter to him. Because when he called us, this is the process. He calls me, and I say, yes, Lord. And upon saying, yes, Lord, he bid me to come. And when I come, Rob, I walk through the blood. See, I walk through the blood, Rainey. And when I get through the blood, whatever was there is no longer there. See, we take advantage. We don't even take advantage of the blood like we should. We should repent. But I say, Lord, cover me in your blood. Cleanse me with your blood. Wash me again. Purify me. Hey, T, make me whole. He calls us with a heavenly purpose, with a heavenly calling. Paul said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly calling. He called us to heaven. He didn't call us out of this world to stay in between. That's miserable. Isn't that miserable? That's why we're miserable, isn't it? Purgatory. That's what some people believe. Some people believe he called us out to take us to purgatory. And in purgatory, that's where we get a chance to get it right. But you know, he's not concerned with us getting it right. Because he got it right on Calvary. We need to be stopped being so sin conscious and be more heavenly conscious. We need to stop being so sin conscious and be heavenly conscious. He said, I know your thoughts before they get in your head. I ain't worried about what you're thinking. Let alone, I know what you're going to do. I'm taking care of all that. That's what Calvary is for, y'all. That's what the cross is for. And if we walk with him long enough, things will shed off of us. It'll come off of us. Ron gave an analogy at up on the mountain that as a tadpole is a tadpole, right? Little slimy thing in the water. We used to play with them, Ron. Go down to the creek. Yeah, get jars and put them in. Yeah, too. Okay. Yeah, all country folks know about tadpoles. I've never seen it. Okay, don't take my thunder. You got one on the left and one on the right. We need a couple more mics in here. Ron gave the analogy as we were talking about being changed and the work that God is doing in us. And whether you know it or not, he's doing it. Oh, he's doing it, Rob. He is doing a work in me. He's doing a work in every one of us in this room, from the youngest on up to the oldest. And those that are not in the room that's connected to us, he's working on them too. How y'all think Izzy getting revelation? We get revelation. Revelation floats on down to Lawrenceville, into the penitentiary. Come on now, right through the walls, right past the guards. Y'all don't think it's possible? Isn't that what happened with Peter? Isn't that what happened with Peter? When the saints started praying, he was locked in jail, and the angels went and got him. Unlocked, put your shoes on, man. Come on, we're going on a trip here. Get up, let's go. Tell them out, peace, no gravity. No gravity can hold our prayers either. See, when we get in this realm, things just start happening. You know, intercessory team, when we get in that realm, we lose gravity and we keep going. And Ron was talking about the tadpole and as an analogy that when we change, that after a while, come up here, Ron, if you don't mind, because I don't want to be like Pastor. In this sense, but I am like him. And I don't know if his age, he said, like Mike says, I'm right here. But Pastor will tell you when he starts, you know I'm going to mess this up, don't you? So rather than me mess it up, I'll let Ron mess it up.
He's going to make it up as he goes.
Yeah. This idea actually came from something Roz said while we were at the beach about how we're transformed and we can't even recognize. And it just popped into my mind. Amphibians. Because consider a tadpole. Tadpole is born out of an egg in the water, swims around in the water with his tail, doesn't have any fins like a fish, but for all intents and purposes, looks like a fish. Probably thinks he's a fish. Little bitty mouth, eyes, you know, stuck in deep in his head. Gills, he's got gills. He's got no arms or legs, no fins. His tail wiggles around. Very quickly, he starts growing. And as he grows, the tail shrinks. Mm-hmm. First, the hind legs pop out. Mm-hmm. You know, his head starts changing shape. Mm-hmm. But he's still in the water, still swimming around with gills and everything. He doesn't know it, but lungs are growing inside of him. And then one day, who knows what impels him, he pops out on the land. He takes his first breath. He inflates the lungs. His gills close. And he's a land animal now. for all intents and purposes, he's a reptile. Mm-hmm. I mean, total metamorphosis. Mm-hmm. And what does the tadpole think about all this? Can you imagine? I mean, we talk about the butterfly, but the caterpillar at least lived in the air and, you know, on the ground, you know, in the same environment. The tadpole didn't know he was in water. We don't know we're in sin. You know, we're swimming in it. This is normal. And we're just happy as tadpoles in water. You know, drinking in the water. The gills give you the oxygen, give them the oxygen. He's out there, he's breathing. He says, "Oh, there's, I belong back there." And he jumps back in. And he sits there, and pretty soon he's got to jump out because he doesn't have any gills anymore. Mm-hmm. The gills have closed, sealed. He's got lungs. He's got to get up there and breathe. He's now a different creature. He's been made anew. We've been made anew. And so when we go back, it's not the same. We keep going back. Drug keeps going back, but that's not his home anymore. His home is in the air. His home is in the land. He's developed a taste for mosquitoes that he never had before. Are you ready to eat mosquitoes? Forget that part. Okay. The analogy only goes so far. Okay. Is that enough?
That's enough. But that's a good example of our process of transformation. That's a very good analogy. You know, that tadpole starts changing, and like Ron said, the likelihood is not that he knows he's changing. He don't even know what he's getting ready to become. We have no clue, Pastor Mike, what he's really changing us into. We don't have no clue yet. We're just feeling a gill closing and a little bit of lung coming, a little bit of heavenly air coming in, but we don't know yet. We haven't taken our first hop out of the water yet completely. You know, we still... Okay, I'm half tadpole and I'm half frog. So what do I do now? And see, that's what we do with salvation. We have saved. Come on now. We, instead of coming on out, let the Holy Spirit bring us all the way out. You know, we're fearful. We're afraid of change. Get on the land of the heavens, the kingdom of God. He's pulling us out. He's changing us. He's changing us. He's changing us. And we don't know what Paul said. We don't know what we're going to be, but when he comes, we're going to be just like him. He might come back as a frog. Y'all seen Narnia? We don't know what he's going to look like. So we better get our minds renewed. Karen had that dream about sea animals. I'm not giving you the mic because you talk too long. About the sea animals coming out of the ocean. But we don't know what to be except to be in him and to know him. We got to get acquainted with him, y'all. That's one thing I learned on the mountain. We got to get to know him. You know, we've been messing around with, oh, yeah, I know God, boo. Boo. We don't know his personality. We don't know his character. We don't know what he likes. We don't know what he dislikes. So that's why we have to go through so many little changes with little hiccups. We call them trials and tribulations. Little hiccups. I got to show her how I feel about that. So then, you know, he deal with us. I got to show you how I feel about that, Miss B. If we open to it, he's not going to pour force on us. But in the change process, Taba, if we really want change as the process is happening and the gills need to close, if we want to and we go with the process, it may hurt a little bit. I don't know if them lungs coming open. And can you imagine the change? What he may have felt like? All brand new. What is land? No resemblance of himself. A new source of air. You know, he's doing a marvelous work, but he's doing an eternal work, y'all, to get us into the heavenlies. Into the heavenlies. D, you ready? I figure my D would be on top of it. Okay. John 5:39. Didn't give you five. There we go. You are busy analyzing the scriptures, frantically poring over them in hopes of gaining eternal life. That's why we studied the Bible so hard, Pastor. That's why we wanted to read the Bible through in a year, because we thought at the end of the year we was going to have eternal life. And we didn't understand a thing about it. We didn't see him in Genesis. We didn't see the Godhead in his fullness in Genesis. Even after the fall, we didn't understand what was happening. We didn't understand that we were lacking Adam now, and Adam lost the glory of God. Adam lost that heavenly air that he was breathing. And how we entered into where we are now, we can read it all we want to. Frantically pouring over them in hopes of gaining eternal life. Everything you read points to me. I want you to get to know me, not some scriptures. Know me. Know me. Everything you read points to me, yet you still refuse to come to me so I can give you the life you're looking for. Eternal life. Come on now, y'all. I'm thirsting after eternal. You know, what am I, Pastor, what's our vision? Eternal life. We can make it plain and simple. Somebody come to PWM, what's your vision? Eternal life. We can make it real plain. You know, what's your vision? Eternal life. That's our goal. Eternal life. That's not complicated. We're striving for eternal life. That's what we're looking for. That's what we're believing for. That's what we're standing for. That's what we're going after. Every day. Every day. Every day. Ephesians 1:18 says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope which he called us to. That's what we're talking about this morning. What he called us to. He called us to a living hope, not a dead world. And this one, John 3:16. We didn't quote this stuff so much it ain't funny. For this is how much God loved the world. He gave his one and only unique son as a gift. So now everyone who believes in him will never perish. Will never perish. Will never perish. For God so loved the world that the other version says, oh, gee, did you do that right? Gave his one and only unique son as a gift. So now everyone who believes in him will never perish, but experience. That part is not on in there. Yeah, will experience. Some of y'all know about first chair, second chair, third chair, Rob. Rob, we first chair, we experience it. First chair Christians experience the word of God. They don't just read it. The first chair people, the light of heaven falls on that word. You know what, Pastor? Every scripture from Genesis to Revelation ought to convict us. It ought to convict us, not make us happy that we know, 900 scriptures and that we can quote Genesis to Revelation. And hasn't ever been a change in your life. There's no resemblance of anything that you're reading. We ought to get more convicted when we read, because he wants us to experience him. Have I ever experienced Christ? We've got to experience him, y'all. We have to. Mike, I want to sit right here. We have to. We have to. I'll make myself comfortable. I left my shoes in the office. Get to know me. I don't know if this is a song or not. Get to really get into. See what I mean? That's the Holy Spirit. Because y'all know I don't even know that. The Holy Spirit dropped that. That's what he's singing to us this morning. Just get to know him. He wants us to get to know him. He don't want us to just come up in here, sit on these nice soft chairs and leave, and what was your experience? What was your experience? We cannot leave after this Sunday without saying, the Holy Spirit saying, oh yeah, you touch me. I touch you. You know, we talk about the woman with the issue of blood. Why don't we reach out? Why don't we reach out? We're just as nasty and filthy and sick as she is. I know I am. Why don't we reach out? We read these stories. You know, Mary with the alabaster box. You know, she poured. What are we pouring? She had a revelation of who he was. We would pour more. We would give more. We would love more. First chair. She had a first chair experience. First chair, Christians. First chair. I experienced the love of the Father for me. Personally. And then corporately. Ms. Nida, we're going to get visitations. Because he wants us to know him. And that's how we get to know him. Chris, visitation. Like you never had before. Dreams. Like you never had. Can I lay my hands on your head? Like you never had before. Like you never had before. Never had. Yeah, baby girl. Ain't she sweet? Ain't she sweet? Like she never. Just humbly. This is what we're talking about. A little bit. This is what we're talking about. Isn't this when we go before the Father? And this ain't me, y'all. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. This is Christ in me. See, we can't stop denying our Christ in us. I can't say this is not. This is Christ in me. This is not me. This hand is Christ's hand flowing through me. That's saying open up the expanse of her mind that she can dream in her spirit and that she can go beyond anything she's ever gone beyond before. Gravity off of her dream life. Gravity off of her dream life. We need it. PWM needs it. Gravity off of her dream life. When she get up here, she got to have something to give us. Her first-hand chair experience. That's what she be doing up here on Sunday morning. She be giving us first-hand chair experience. Even admitting her arm going down in the toilet to poop. Some things I'll never forget. Because me, that was Christ going down in the poop to get me. Come on now. Y'all was already clean, but I was a filthy mess. And still a filthy mess. Still need cleansing. We saw a movie on Friday. Friday or Thursday? Saturday. When we saw that movie? Okay, yeah. Prodigal Son. But it really tells us how much the Father loves us. I walked away with that. Lord, devil can't never condemn me no more. Never, ever. Because if he condemns me, that means that my sin is greater than the power of the cross. If I get condemned for my cross, for my piece of stuff, manure, then that's saying to the devil that the cross meant nothing. There was no victory in that cross. You see, we've got to realize he know we are sin-torn world. He knew that from the very beginning, how much we need him. And the supply is in abundance for you, woman of God. You can go. The supply is in abundance, spiritually and naturally. She needs tissues, y'all.
She's going to feel like it's raining on her in the spirit, like she's getting drenched with from another realm. That's how real that become to her. So the natural rain is just a type of the spiritual rain that comes down. I've been rained on. She's going to say, I've been rained on again. I've been rained on again.
You can go when you can get up. But Christ is increasing us. He's breaking the gravity. He's breaking it. He's breaking it. You know, when you get the helium balloon, if you let a helium balloon go, it'll go past what you can see. It'll get to the place you don't see a dot in the sky. Come on, the Holy Spirit, the helium in us. How far up can we go? Where are we supposed to be? But we can only do it when we know that this is our call and this is our purpose. We got to come to the understanding of I love you, Jesus, more than I love life. Because what is my life without him? What is my healing without him? What? What? So I'm not asking him for healing. I'm seeking him. His face. D, what we got? First John 5:11. Did I give you that? This is a true testimony. See, we used to have old-fashioned testimony. I thank the Lord for being saved. I thank the Lord for giving me a house. I thank the Lord for my car. I thank the Lord for my children. The true testimony given us is what? The testimony. Eternal life. When you meet somebody, you know, how you doing? I'm good. What kind of church you go to? Eternal life. What you believe? Eternal life. See, we got to get this engrafted in us. Come on now. Holy Spirit's engrafted. No. Until it becomes real, Mike. Until that pastor had up there, till we're no more. Enoch entered into eternal life. From flesh to eternal life. But it was a process. He kept walking. He kept getting to know God. He kept wanting God more than he wanted. Methuselah, his wife, he was married. He had a son. But I want to get to know you, Jesus, more than I want anything else. And he got to know him, so to him and they, him and God became one. You don't have to go back there. Gravity is broken. Gravity is broken. Gravity is broken. See, gravity don't want to let you go. But see, you have to keep, Paul said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. What high calling was he talking about? The heavenly calling. The kingdom of God. Eternal life. Now. If I was supposed to put a theme up that deal, it should have been eternal life now. Ron touched on it last Sunday, I think it was. Eternal life now. We're talking about waiting until you get in the casket. You get in that casket, you don't know what's happening. You don't know where you're going. If you get in there without eternal life, I don't care what kind of persuasion you have. You can have a charismatic persuasion, a Pentecostal persuasion, a Baptist persuasion, but if you don't have a Christ persuasion, eternal life persuasion, eternal life persuasion. God has given us eternal life. That's what we want to testify. And this life has its source in his Son, in Jesus. Whoever has the Son has eternal life. That's why we got to get to know him, y'all. Because when we get to know him, we've got the eternal life. We got the Father. We got the Son. We got the Holy Spirit. We got joy unspeakable and full of glory. We got peace that passes understanding. We got Galatians 5 and 7. We can love and joy and long-suffering. We got Corinthians 13. We got Ephesians 1, heavenly places. Come on. Paul had something. And it's not exclusive for Paul. Paul broke the gravity. It's not exclusive for him. Pastor Mike pulling on it hard. He pulling on it hard, Pastor. He's pulling on it hard. He's pulling on it hard. We all are, I pray. We pulling on it. Whosoever has the Son has eternal life. Whosoever does not have the Son does not possess eternal life. So we have to be, I'm a son. I'm a son, I'm a son, I'm a daughter, whatever you want to call it, however you want to figure it out. I'm an amphibian, yeah, that's it. Thank you, Pastor Glow. Does it matter? As long as I'm his. As long as I'm his. That's the glory of it, Lord. When you know you're his, when you know you belong to another realm, when you wake up in the middle of the night, you don't know where you are. Paul said, I don't know if I was in my body, out of my body. All of us, Rainy going to start having that. In our body, out of body. Oh, yes, ma'am. You go in there. That's your calling. That's your calling. Because Peter, see, the gifts in Peter M is for the house and for the world and for nations. Not just for us to say, well, she can prophesy or she can dream a dream. It's not. Mm-mm. What you bringing? What you bringing? When Paul went to Ephesians, he brought them something. He went to Philippi, he brought them something. He brought them some heavenly news. He had some, you know, they weren't just writing. Here's the Holy Spirit saying, go over there. And one time when he wanted to go to Asia, Minor, I think it was, probably got that wrong too, Ron. And the Lord said, no, you can't go. No, can you go? No, that's not where you're supposed to go. How many times has the Lord told us not to go somewhere? Or did we even have to have enough knowing, as Pastor said, enough ding, 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 to know that he's saying, don't go. Don't go. Yeah, your mama invited you to the 100th year celebration of the Baptist church. The Holy Spirit said, don't go. But then my mama, I got to go because my mama asked me to go. But the Holy Spirit said, don't go. Don't go. How many ding-a-ling-ding? Oh, you know, he said, don't grieve me. Grieve me when you do what you want to do and not what I want you to do. You go where you want to go and not where I want you to go. Who's more important to you, mama or me? Jesus said, who's my mother and my father? They that do my will. So if you're not doing the will of God, husband and wife, same thing. One going to be in the bed and somebody, and one going to be taken. We know that Paul talked over there in Corinthians, I believe it is, pastor, about the head and all that kind of stuff is Ephesians. About the head and the man over the woman. You know? Okay, yeah. Okay, I understand all that. But if you're on your way to hell, excuse me, I'm not following you. Because he did say, love your wife as Christ loved the church. And Christ died and gave his life for the church. So if you're doing something contrary, I'm going to leave that alone because I'm not the senior pastor. I'm out there now. But I hear people say they use that as an excuse. My husband don't want to go to church, so I'm not going. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tina. I told somebody, Tina had a friend. I said, keep on following Jonah. I'm going to tell you where you're headed. Keep on following Jonah. Jonah got a destination. Yeah, it's the truth. It's the living truth. It's the truth. It's the word of God. It's him. Proverbs 8 and 35. Did I give you that deed? For those who find me find what? Life. And receive what? Why you think we bumping through? We ain't found life yet. We ain't found life. We bumping through this corrupt world. We bumping through, Chris. Things are hard. Things are bad. Things are dark. I don't know where you come from. But where I am is light and lovely, you know. It's lit up. Heaven is lit up. The glory of God. He said, don't need no light in this city because his glory. And God said, we're going to start walking in here and the glory going to be all over Taba. She going to walk up to the front and we all going to get slain. Because the glory, somebody's got to bring the glory in the house. And we can't just wait and think it's all the senior pastor or the apostle. Why don't you want his glory? I want his glory at Taba. I want to go up on the mountain like Moses did and stay up there until when I come down. Oh, God, you know I've been with the Lord. You know, we can spend 10 hours on a job and 2 hours on church on Sunday and think we're going to get the glory. I don't think God does it like that. We're going to get a testimony that God has given us eternal life. Because we're going to have his son. We're going to have the source. We're going to have favor. We're going to have favor, Rob. Favor, Rob. Rob working so much because he got favor. Got favor. Karen, favor. You have favor with the Lord. You have favor. When you have favor, you don't have to beg. Your children have favor with you. They don't always do what you want them to do. I'm not going to mess with the children. How many children in here? How many mamas in here? A lot. I'm not going to say too much about that. But they still have favor with you. I can mess with Tina. Tina can cut up all she wants to. That's my daughter. She got favor with me. If she call, here I come. If I have it, here it goes. You know, she might get a little lecture with it, but you see what I'm saying? You don't beg when you have favor. You just, and when you have favor, you know that God has an extension be from heaven down here for me. There's an extension, Pastor Roz. Favor is an extension from heaven. Isn't that what happened to Mary? Didn't the angels come from where? Heaven. And visited her. And told her she had favor. Favor came from heaven, y'all. Man didn't give it to her. But we got to be in the sun. We got to let him take our life over. He's got to take it over, Pastor Pastor Ross. Not a little bit here and a little bit there. I left that mountain. Where D at? I left that mountain. D said, no more right turns. Right, D? No more right turns. We want to stay in the Spirit. We want to live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, work in the Spirit, eat in the Spirit, dance in the Spirit. It'll never, ever catch me off. Somebody tell me I had an off moment. You got out the Spirit. You had a bad day. You got out the Spirit. My boss irritated me. You're out the Spirit. My coworkers won't do what I ask them to do. You're out of the Spirit. But the Spirit will make it easy for you. The Spirit make it easy for you. The favor. That favor. You want favor with that boss? Get to know God. Stop trying to say Brown knows it up in him. You know, get to know God. He can do that. He can do that. He can do that. He can do that. And he wants his children. Oh God. He wants his children to be like he and his father is. Oh God, help me. And I'm about finished, y'all. I told Pastor I ain't have anything. He told me last week sometime, I want you to minister this coming Sunday. I forgot we was going to be going to OBX. Forgot that we was going to be leaving at 5 o'clock in the morning. Got a whole bunch of stuff in the process. But I said, okay. I said, you got it? He said, no, you do. I said, okay, Holy Spirit, you do it. You do it. See, when you don't have anything, I said, let me go sit down at my office. Just let me go sit down at my desk. You know, gravity broken. And I come out here, he's already summarized all of this. Right? Right, Mr. DeBoer? He's already summarized all of this. But I'm going to try to summarize it with this one, D. John 17. This is what Jesus prayed. He looked up into heaven. This is what Jesus prayed. Y'all, what are we looking while we praying? We looking at the bill. We looking at gravity, huh? We looking at gravity. You know, we looking at all the cares of life. We looking at the kids that ain't doing right, the husband that don't understand, the boss that won't give me my raise that's due me. We looking at all that. What Jesus said? When Jesus prayed, he looked what? Up into heaven. He knew where his source was. He knew. He knew where he was from. He knew. Miss Nida, what do you call it? Abiding city. He knew about the abiding city because he was from the abiding city. Father, the time has come. Holy Spirit is saying, y'all, PWM, the time has come. These are not just words that was written some time ago, but it's applicable to us today. These are prophetic sayings to us today. The time has come, PWM, to rise up and go to another level. Gravity is being broken. We're not going to think like we used to think. We're not going to act like we used to act. We're going to find ourselves being true spiritual people. And loving it. The time has come. Unveil the glorious splendor of your Son. I want to see that, Mike, so that I will magnify your glory. You have already given me authority over all the people so that I may give the gift of what? To all those that you've given to me. See, if we have been given to him, then we have eternal life. We have access. When we went to, Lord help us, Jesus. When we went to the house, 992 Whalehead Road. Drive road, I don't know. You had to have a key code to get into the house. If you don't have the key code, you can't get into the house. We have a key code to get into heaven. Daddy, big brother, when you go home, nobody gonna tell you to leave home. I mean, that's home. You have a key, right? You have a key. You know what he gave? He told, I didn't get this one. I didn't write it down. When he told Peter and them, I give you the key to the kingdom. Love will take you into heaven. He said, I give you the kingdom. We walk around here talking, we go bind and loose. You can't bind and loose nothing if you don't know Jesus. That was the other thing we learned. We throw his name around like it's a baseball or something. But his name has power in it. But we've got to know the authority of that power. We have to get to life in that power so that I may give the gift. The gift is a free gift of eternal life to those that you have given to me. PWM, we don't belong to ourselves. We don't belong to the apostle. We belong to the abiding city. We belong to a new creation. We belong to a new order. We belong to a gravity-less life. You can believe it if you want to, but I'm going there. What does number three say? Eternal life means to know, first share, experience you as the only true God. This is what he's praying. I want my disciples, my called out one, Ecclesia, the called out ones. Didn't he call each and every one of us by name? We didn't get here because we just made a decision. I got here because he called me, and he wouldn't let me rest. He called me. He called me. Experience you as the only true God. And to know the experience, to know and experience Christ as the Son whom you have sent. First chair. Mike, give me a chair. First chair. First chair. First chair. Oh, no, give me three chairs. I need Ron's help again. Because I don't want you all to go away not understanding. Some people may not have ever heard. How many of you have ever heard first chair, three chairs? Have. See, some of them haven't. Okay, Ron, you're on the spot. Explain first chair, second chair, third chair.
Okay, first, back to the frogs. You were created by God to be a frog, but if you're still a tadpole, you got to make a leap. You know, the tadpole is comfortable where he is. He's in the water. That's all he's ever known. Everything's fine, but you were created to be a frog. You got to get out of the water into the air. You got to go to a different world. You got to do whatever. World. Anyway, okay. Now, this comes from Bruce Wilkinson, a teaching that he did, oh my goodness, about 20 years ago. Bruce Wilkinson is a para-Jabez and, you know, that kind of stuff guy. All right. The first chair are those people who have experienced God. Simple. You know, Moses, David. Somebody you know, maybe.
Apostle, will you come sit in the first chair?
Okay. Yeah, we're going to get in trouble here. Okay. But yeah, yeah, go ahead, because it's the other chairs that we're going to have trouble with. Okay. Because this is some, and the second chair is, you know, the children of Israel, or is Solomon, or something. These are people who have seen, who know someone who have experienced God, but they haven't experienced God directly. Many times, this is... I knew we were going to get in trouble. It's her, not me. Okay. Many times, this may be a parent or grandparent or somebody, whatever. And this person knows that person has had an experience and knows that it was authentic and all of that stuff, but hasn't had the experience themselves. Now, woe to be the third chair. Because, oh my goodness. Because the third person knows the person who's knows the person who had the experience, but as far as he's concerned, this is all a fairy tale. He doesn't know the person who experienced God. He just knows it. He's somebody, this is blasphemy, he's just read it in the Bible.
Come on now.
You know, because to many people, the Bible is just a fairy tale. Because they haven't experienced it. They haven't even known anybody who's experienced it. It's just words on a paper. But when the Bible comes alive, when God comes to you through the Bible, then you're experiencing it. You're experiencing God, though. You're not experiencing the Bible. You're experiencing God. Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, has come into you and made the Bible alive. All these things about eternal life. You have entered into eternal life. Now. Not when you die.
Now.
Now. It starts now. Now, unfortunately, just like the frog, you know, we're used to living in the water, and so we keep wanting to jump back in the water and try to breathe the water because that's what we're used to. That's where we're comfortable, all that stuff. So there's a process, as Jerry says, that we have to go through to get to the point where we stay in the kingdom. We stay in the air, or we stay in the experience. And then it gets worse, of course, because it doesn't stop at the third chair. There's the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth chair for whom this is all just a story. You know, they don't even know. And sadly, this is much of our culture today. It's much of our church today that they're doing what they're doing out of tradition, or they're doing what they're doing because grandma did it. They don't have any idea why grandma did it, because they not only, you know, haven't experienced God themselves, they haven't experienced someone who experienced God, or, you know, their third, fourth, fifth chair. They're that many generations removed. So when Jerry or one of us speaks, this is kind of a shorthand, a code, that when we speak of first chair, we're talking about experiencing the Holy Spirit directly in ourselves. And that'll manifest itself differently for every one of us. Every one of us has a different, I'll call it a gateway experience, when God comes to you, and it may be reading the Bible, and poof, you know, it happens. It may be down on the seashore. It may be in the middle of the night when you wake up at 3 a.m. and suddenly, bap, you know, the room is full of angels, so to speak. Many of you here, of course, are second chair people, because you're in the presence of people who have experienced God. Now, they don't look any different. I mean, these three people, you know, just look like normal people in the spirit. I'm going to get in trouble here. It's going to get really bad. Because we see with our eyes, our physical eyes, the signal goes to our physical brain, and our mind, which resides in the brain, which is part of our soul, processes all that, but nothing happens in the spirit. So we're here. Now, the person sitting next to you, Jerry, can have the same experience, see the same thing, and because the spirit in her mind is in charge or is released, because it's in bondage in the normal, is released, she can then experience the Holy Spirit triggered by someone else's words or experiences or whatever. It's not
that's all the Holy Spirit is saying today.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, so that the Holy Spirit, what we want, all of us, is to be big, handsome man like Pastor Gary. That's Mike's fondest dream, to grow up to be Pastor Gary. Now I'm meddling. Yes. I'm in trouble now. But many of us, if we're not first chair right now, and we're not oftentimes. In other words, we may have had a first chair experience, but frankly, we're in and of the world. So we spend a lot of our time bouncing back between the second and third chair. And I tell you, honestly, I wake up some mornings, I'm not convinced it isn't all a fairy tale and that I've gone wacko. You know, so that's why Paul said you got to kill yourself every day. Because the soul will try to take over again. The soul, spirit, and whatever it is thing is not Wilkinson. That's a whole bunch of other folks, Watchman Nee and whatnot. But, you know, we are all first, second, and third chair people every day. You know, it's kind of like we're schizophrenic. You know, we've got multiple personalities. Because we sometimes occasionally experience God, and obviously what we want is we want to experience it all the time. We want to experience eternal life. We want to be in the presence of the living God every moment of every day and all night long and everything else. But we tend not to be there. That's a process as he sheds those things off, you know, like the skin off a snake or the peeling an onion or whatever. But many times we can at least acknowledge that we have been in the presence of God. We have been in the presence of those who have been in the presence, you know. So don't despair. If you're a third chair person and you've gone all your life just reading it and going there and hearing the sermons and singing the songs and it was all good and you're still hollow inside, that's God's way of drawing you to him because you want him. A guy once said that there's a God-shaped vacuum inside each one of our hearts that only God can fill. He's the only thing that fits that. And so we keep wanting it. And so if you have that desire, don't despair. And if you're not sitting in the first chair at this very moment, don't despair. Because it will happen. You will come. You have hope. He is continually drawing you to him. And when you have these experiences, even the experience that says, God, where are you? I need you right now. He's right there. He may have allowed you to into that experience just so you'd come to him that way. And you say, thanks a lot. I could have done without that. He said, no, you couldn't because you weren't coming to me any other way. Sorry, you know, but I'm not sorry. You know, I died for you. I've done, you know, the work's all done. You just need to get with the program, you know. And anyway, is that enough?
You think you might pass? No, I'm done.
Okay. So Pastor Love's going to close us out. Pastor Love, as they call her. So thank God for this kind of community service today. And for Mike and Jerry and Ron and Pastor Love and especially the Holy Spirit. Because he really likes this type of thing. Just sort of get together, get at my feet, let me share it to you spontaneously. I'm rehearsed by Ron. But that's what the Spirit can do. All what happened was Ron lost gravity. Can you follow that? And he's speaking firsthand. So, we get in the Spirit. We all have the same experience one way or the other. And we thank God for that. So we're going to, Pastor Love's going to close after Shelly says something. Okay, we'll Pastor George, let's close it then. We'll have prayer for you. We're going to have, come on.
I thought it was very personal at first, and you know how Pastor Jerry and I were always telling on ourselves. And today gave me the revelation of what it really meant, this dream that I had. Now, it is personal, and I'm going to just be very honest and transparent because God is removing gravity from me. And I may cry, but it's tears of joy because my notes for me today is I want to obey the heavenly calling. And I'm so dumb that God has to give me dreams like this to make it so plain. And so don't judge me based on the dream. So in the dream, let me back up and be real honest. And BJ, I'm sure he's okay with it. He just knows he married me. It's his fault. So he and I have been going back and forth about whether or not to have more kids. I want to. But I don't want to. And so I'm going to make it short. So I stay in your vein. So we have, Cammie likes to look at houses, and my mom's a real estate agent, and so it's like, you know, maybe this could be something one day. So we're looking at houses just for fun, and we run across this house, and OMG, it was perfect in gravity, okay, in the earth. And so, I mean, it was beautiful. I'm not going to lie. Beautiful. 5 bedrooms. Had a dance studio. What does my child do? Okay. All of it earthly. All of it in gravity. It was perfect. Private, 2.5-acre lot. Just beautiful. Even had a little bit of quirks with it where you could flex with the price and everything. And so we're like, you know, let's just go look at it. Don't tell my mom I'm telling you that we went to go look at it, because she's not supposed to do that unless you're really looking. We were not looking to buy. We just went. This is all God. This is all God. And so we go to the house. We look. It's cold. You know how our house feels warm to us spiritually? This house felt cold, but it was still perfect. That's exactly what it is. You know, when you're in the spirit, when you're up there in heaven, everything's warm and good and just perfect. But when you drop back down into gravity, when you get out of that first seat, that first chair, it's cold. It's not a firsthand experience. So, you know, I prayed and I'm like, you know, okay, God, what are you saying? You know, and I'm using this too for Cammie, because Cammie's like, oh my God, this looks so great. Let's buy it. You know, because we have all the money in the world. And so I'm like, baby, let's pray. And so I was able to explain to her, wherever she is, that, you know, whatever you do, you put God first. Whatever you want to do or think looks good, you put God first. God is the shoe. Because if you don't, then you're going to have that bumpity, 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 bump road that Pastor Jerry was just talking about. And so I said, let's pray, Cammie. So we prayed. I kid you not, I had a dream that night. And the dream was perfect. And if I had stayed in gravity, I would have misinterpreted the dream. So thank you for praying for me. The gravity would come off of my dreams too. Because if they stay in my dreams, then I stay in my interpretation. And then I'm going to stay in gravity. So then the dream was that we were in the house. And so if I stayed in gravity, I'd been like, oh, this guy's saying go buy the house. So we're in the house. Everything's perfect. What do I have? A baby. Okay, God knows I want a baby, you know. So he's just saying, just have it all, you know. And so, but I also don't want a baby. So we have the baby. It's perfect. And the kids, we're living in the house for a while. And then the kids are like, let's go outside. Let's go outside, mommy, and explore the woods. Sure. Okay, let's go. So I strap the baby onto me in one of those little carriers. And we're going through it's 2.5-acre lot, most of it wooded. I'm not scared of the woods. I grew up in the country. So we're going through the woods, and most of the acreage is behind the house. And so we're going back there, and mom showed us the plot and what was the property line and what was behind us. And it was all wooded. And so we're going through the woods in the dream and everything, and then we come out of the woods, and I see power lines. Massive power lines, like a power plant. My heart dropped, because that's radiation. I mean, massive lines, all connected, boxes, everything. And I could hear in the dream the humming. Immediately, I was like, we have to go now. And God said to me days later, you choose this, you can have it all. I'm not going to stand in your way. You want the perfect earthly gravity filled life. You can have it. I'm not going to stand in your way, but the heavenly calling. Come on now. Worth more. I have to die. So no baby. No bigger house. Not that I wanted a bigger house. Don't judge me based on this dream, y'all. Hear me. Give all of that up for the heavenly calling. For the first chair experience. Give it up. Thank you. Give it up. I don't need my life to look perfect. It can be a mess, and that's fine with me. I can still be in that chair, and my life can still be warm and filled with the Spirit. I can give it up. I can give it up. I can give up what I want. Because my heart is that I want him more. You said, I love you more than I da 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 da. I want to get to know you more than having another child. I want to get to know you more than having another house. I want to get to know you more than the salvation of this person and that person. I can take my hands off of people. Let them fall. So God can put them in the first chair because I try too hard. You don't know what you did to me today, or maybe you do. I am humbled and so.
See, this is the house God's building. You understand that? This is the house God's building. Not man, but God. Amen. Tara, do you have anything?
Come on,
I know. I kind of know.
Good afternoon, everyone. Pastor Jerry, Mr. Ron, pastors, this is so real. Chris, the perfect life, what I aim for, most of my life, wanted it to look a certain way and didn't realize that what looks perfect is not perfect really at all. And when it looks messy and it looks like you can't handle it, that only God can fix it, that July 29th of this year, my boss calls me into his office and says, we're closing, so we don't need you anymore. And when you're one of the primary incomes for the household, and if I were to think about it, I probably would have lost it, because if it had happened 6 months ago, I probably would have had a breakdown, because I was so about my, I was so gravity bound, so earthbound. And for him, for the past 3 months, he's kept us. Salary didn't keep us. Job, this earth, this world, we try to figure it. I told Pastor Mike at one point, I said, if I try to figure out the math, it would blow my mind. And I've taken calculus, and this would, I couldn't figure. I got to the point where I said, Lord, you show me what to pay. And he did. He never missed a payment. He never did it. And it's not about the stuff. It's about when you really realize God cares about the simple things. Us eating, us having a place to live. He cares about our mental health, about making sure that we're okay, about our bodies. Sometimes we're in places and afraid to step out into another job because we think that, oh, I need this. But sometimes he says, that's enough. He did all of that for me, and I am so grateful. It didn't look perfect, but it was okay. And then for God to be faithful, and then he appoint the next assignment. Our lives really are not our own. It really is about him. I'm so grateful. I don't want to, I know I jump in and out like like Mr. Juan said, I feel like I'm schizophrenic. Sometimes I feel like I'm in the first, second, third, all at one time. But I'm so grateful for this house. God has saved my life in so many ways, emotionally, mentally, and physically. And I'm so grateful. So thank you.
This is the house God built. This is the house God built. Consists of lives, one life at a time. It consists of lives. I opened up the service and said, who has a testimony?
Man, what a day. Just earlier when we were doing examples of the three chairs, I remember actually last Sunday after service, Rob and I were talking. And we were both saying and agreeing that in the past, when we heard of people's first chair experiences, we believe wholeheartedly, and we thought, oh, that's a nice testimony, but we never thought it was for us, you know. We thought, oh, it takes a special kind of person, a Christian, to experience God on that level. And when I got out of that is from the Zem today, is God doesn't want us to settle for the third chair experience that we can all experience, you know. Don't settle, you know, and experience Him, you know. Don't believe the lies of the enemy or the old lies of religion, you know, that you can't experience that. You can't be. God wants to really take you higher. And those high places, like we've been talking about, opening our eyes, having those spiritual experiences with Him. And also, earlier on, Pastor Jerry's teaching, when I was sitting there in a sound booth, you know, I closed my eyes for a couple of minutes, and I guess in my mind's eye, I saw kind of a funeral setting, you know, at the burial site, and people, and there's a casket about to go down into the ground, and people are standing around the casket mourning, and God was saying, I don't want you to mourn over the sacrifices and the dying. You know, He wants us to rejoice and be thankful because it's worth it to get to that spiritual high level. You know, don't regret, no regrets of sacrificing, no regrets of dying, because the eternal is now.
They preached about you at the Outer Banks. Now I see why. Yeah. This is the house God built.
I'm just having a conniption over there because on the way here, we talked about the necessity of the three chairs. And how the congregation needed to know about it. And He loved us so much that it actually happened. It happened. It was waiting. He loves. You're right here where He wants you to be, and He's going to give you exactly what you need. We talked about here God is. He's right here. The Holy Spirit is right here. He gave us life, and yet we go somewhere else to try to find it. And yet He's standing here wanting to give it to us. We have nowhere else to go but to Him. And for Him to do that today, a demonstration of how much He loves us today, this morning. Wow. He demonstrated eternal life with His intense love. He loves us just that much. I'm going to pray. Nobody. Father, I just thank You for Your love. There's no other love but Yours, Lord God. We will never know love unless we know you, God. We got to know you like the Bible said he knew his wife. We want to know you, Lord, your bride to you, Lord God, your bride. Let us know you, God. Let us have that honeymoon. Let us have that intimacy with you, Lord God, where we're so entwined with you, the ecstasy of love will come forth. God, I just thank you. I just thank you, Lord God. I just thank you, Lord God. There's no more than we can even accept when the ecstasy comes. We can't do anything else but enjoy you, God. We know what the kingdom is about, the love, joy, and peace. That's the kingdom. But it comes out of the ecstasy of you loving us, that intimacy, that we can come together entwined, and no man can come asunder. It's you, God. 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 Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, I understand when we called you a thing and people would say, no, he's a he. He's he, just like you, her, and him. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. How do we walk away from this, God? We can't. It's just like Pastor Gloria talked about, the Holy Spirit being on our shoulder. How do we walk and not cause it to fall off our shoulder? Because we want you to always be with us, God. That dove to stay, never to go. And you promise us that, that you'll never leave us nor forsake us, God. And so, God, we just thank you for not leaving us. And in that minute minute, you cared enough to even share it, God, and to demonstrate your love to us, Lord God, to let us know that eternal life is right here, right now. And that we are in that first chair. We are experiencing you. You caused us to experience you to God. To let us know that we're in that first chair. Through that experience. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Yes, God, reign on us right now, God. Reign your precious spirit. The Shekinah glory. We thank you for your Shekinah glory right now, Lord God. Thank you, God, for wrapping us in the cloud, God, that we may see you above the earth. We can just go into the cloud and allow you to guide us and to direct us through the Red Sea, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Then by day, God. Thank you, Lord. Every day, God, we walk in the newness of life, the new creation, Lord God. Thank you, God, that we walk in it. And through the process of growing, Lord, we still walk in it. You still hold us, Lord God, in your bosom, Lord God, never letting us go. Oh, what love you have for us, God, that we can walk out of this place and still be in the first chair, still knowing who you are, not losing you at all, God. Thank you, God. We will go forth in you, God, today. In the name of Jesus, we understand that name now.
Yes.
It's relationship.
Yes.
It's the intimacy, Lord.
Yes.
Whew. We know it, God. We can say it now, meaning more. It means so much more. In the name of Jesus, we walk away. In your name, Jesus. We know what the power of your name means. We know how we can step into that Shekinah glory. We know your presence where there's healing and deliverance. We know that, God, we experience it from the first chair, God. Whew. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
can't say the word amen, but I can say that he's with you throughout eternity. He's with you. Thank you, Lord.